And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Steve Gotcher with a story about the love of dogs and the snow.
Dog sledding has been a family affair for writer Julie Buckles. She and her husband Charlie Ray caught the bug when they first moved to northern Wisconsin. And she's raced with her daughter Caroline in the annual Apostle Islands dog sled race. But this weekend marks the first year the mother of two will be racing on her own. Danielle Kading brings us this audio postcard.
If you have dogs that are kind of snippy or have a bad attitude, it just takes all the fun out of it. So actually, everyone in this kennel has a great attitude. When we moved up here, we were introduced to the racing community through the first Apostle Island sled dog race. And we also had met John and Mary Thiel, who run Wolf Song Mushing. They do it as a business. And they had taken, it was back when they had four dogs. They have 50 now. But when they had four dogs, they took us out, and we just thought that was super fun. And Charlie and I had done some big wilderness trips, and Charlie had this idea that if we had dogs, we could go out and do winter wilderness trips. And so for my birthday one year, he built me a dog box and said we were going to go fill it. I always thought dog sledding would end when my kids weren't interested anymore. And so Caroline had raced four races, and she had been so involved with the dogs. But she was 13, and she's got sports. She's in cross-country ski team. And she basically said, I'm done. Charlie and I agreed we were going to start selling, and he even started selling here on Craigslist, and he came to me to talk to me about what we should price it at, and I started to cry. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to be done. A month or two later, Blair, who has a racing kennel, called me and said, I have this awesome dog named Popeye who just has a heart murmur, and so he can't do longer races. Are you interested? And I don't know, just that name Popeye, I was sucked in. Every musher has a story about how it started with one dog. Kind of my rebirth in dog sledding started with one dog, and it's Popeye. And he's the loudest one in the kennel. I usually get them out four times a week minimum. They really need to be exercised at least every other day. This is their prime time. It's cold. They're ready to go. They're part of our family because with this team, I almost never, ever give dogs away. Once they're here for life. I reached a point one year where we had a set of dogs that all died, and I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't say goodbye to any more dogs. But then a new dog comes along, and you fall in love again, and you just realize that that's part of the deal. Unbite! All right, hike. It's really an awesome time because I think about one thing, and it's the dogs. Because dog sledding is a 0 to 50 sport. You could be trotting along 1 minute, and if you stop paying attention, you've gone to 50, and you've got a tangle, your team is loose. It's all consuming. And so when you're out, this is all you're thinking about. Then every once in a while my mind does wander, and I think about things like which dogs will get to run at the sled dog race, and I think it's these six. And then, or I might think about, like, if I had a new litter of sled dog pups, what theme would I choose to name them all? And it's just everything about these guys is so much fun, and just being out there with them is just, it's all about them. I don't think about bills or emails or what I have to do next. I just think about that run that day and how well it's going. And when it goes well, it's a really great day. Right, guys?
Danielle Kading is a reporter with the Superior Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Steve Gotcher.
And now to the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health, which is out with its annual report on child well-being and its dashboard of indicators, distilling Wisconsin data, showing where Wisconsin is trending in the right direction. Those are green lights, and where we're going in the wrong direction, red lights. And this comes as U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy issued a stark warning about the mental health of young people last month. Has your child struggled emotionally in these times? What have you done to try to help them? 800-642-1234. Linda Hall is director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health. Linda, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning. It's good to be with you again. I appreciate your attention to this really important issue.
Absolutely. You know, we've heard the U.S. Surgeon General talking about this, health professionals sounding the alarm that children and adolescents are really struggling. Do these warnings match what you're seeing in Wisconsin data?
Yes, unfortunately, they do. The data in our 2021 report, which actually is data that's primarily before the pandemic, shows that our kids are struggling more with anxiety and depression, with difficulty making and maintaining relationships, and difficulty in feeling like they belong at school and in the community.
I was really troubled that the report's data shows it takes an average of 11 years before children get treatment and help for mental health issues. And that's a very long time compared to if you would have a physical ailment. What is going on there?
Well, I think there are a few things going on. First of all, most people know that we have a shortage of mental health professionals. So it means that access to professional mental health services is not readily available in most parts of the state. I think it's also that adults don't always recognize what's happening with kids. They're either not looking for the symptoms, or when they're seeing problem behaviors, they're assuming that it's something else, it's defiance, when really it's often about mental health. And the kids, through their behaviors, are trying to tell us something. So we've got a few things going on there. And then there's also the issue of stigma, that stigma is reducing a little bit, but it's still there. And that gets in the way, too.
I really like this. You have this one tip that I always think about, and you recommend that we spend 5 minutes every day checking in with our child to see how they're doing. And I'm thinking, you know, there's 24 hours in a day, and we're devoting 5 minutes to them and what's going on in their lives, nothing else. That doesn't seem like much. And yet, you know, how important is that 5 minutes? What's going on there?
Yeah, I've talked to several people, and that's what they're really advising. Take that 5 minutes, you know, maybe right before bedtime, you know, you're tucking your kid in, maybe you're even tucking in your teenager, and just, you know, leave 5 minutes there to just listen to what they have to say. No electronics in the way, you know, look them in the eyes and just listen to what they have to say. Open that line of communication. And, you know, they may not talk to you a lot at first, but soon they will. And then you're going to know what's going on with them. And you're going to have a better idea of what you need to do as a parent to support them.
Really showing that they matter, that what's going on in their lives really matters, regardless of all of the noise and stresses that is either in that household or in the larger world.
Absolutely. And to understand what it is they are concerned about, not what you think they're concerned about, because you may be off target in terms of what's really on their minds. And I mentioned that the having no electronics, because we're hearing from the kids that we talk to that they are as concerned about their parents being on their phones too much as their parents are concerned about them being on their electronics. So it's got to be that face-to-face thing, because we know that even with older kids, that looking in the eyes makes a difference. It's like, I think a lot of people have heard about the importance of looking in an infant's eyes, that's important for the child's brain development, and it also helps the parent. Mm-hmm. What we're learning is that that's also true for older kids. So have that conversation, keep that communication line open, so you know when it's time to step in and help your kid. And we also have on our website a map to that helps parents think about when how to decide if their child needs some more professional help, and then how to start the path of looking to find that professional help.
Let's bring on a caller. Jeremy is joining us from Racine. Hi, Jeremy. What would you like to bring up? Hi.
Hi. So I have raised an autistic son. He's now in his lower 20s, like 22 years old. And not only is it hard for parents to deal with him at home because you're still learning what exactly is wrong when you first have him, it took us about 4 or 5 years before we could finally start getting a pattern down where, okay, we can kind of narrow it down to what's going on. But the other fundamental issue that we always dealt with, which was a big factor in his life, was public schools and the public schools' inability to manage children with disabilities and mental health issues like autism, ADD, ADHD. Schools have labeled him as a behavioral disorder. Very common things, but basically the people that are managing these programs, you may have one or two for an entire school system that knows a little bit more of the backgrounds of these types of conditions, but generally the teachers that are with them day in, day out, they do not have the training. And it turns into a lot of dramatic situations that these kids go through school that carries on into their adulthood. My son still speaks of high school as if it was yesterday, and it's an ongoing issue with his development as an adult because he keeps remembering some of the bad experiences that he dealt with in the public schools and their inability to manage people with autism.
Jeremy, your story, thank you so much for sharing it and being open to share that. Linda, what would you say with what you're hearing from Jeremy's experience?
Well, Jeremy, you raise a really important issue. And our office has a practice of having people with lived experience of negotiating the mental health system active with us. We have a number of parents who have had children with autism or other mental health issues, and they are telling us the same things that you are telling us. So we know that mental health literacy, so the adults at school understanding mental health and having some tools in their toolkit to respond to these issues is really important. One of the things that we've been working on in cooperation with the Department of Public Instruction is a mental health literacy curriculum that is now available for free off the DPI website. And it offers instruction at all levels of school, from elementary to high school. We are also really promoting youth-led programs in the school to address these conversations, because youth are telling us, similar to what you're saying, youth are telling us there aren't enough people in the school who understand mental health and are comfortable talking about it. So we have a lot to do in terms of educating adults and then helping them with strategies on how to address behaviors, to understand behaviors. Again, to understand that with those behaviors, kids are often trying to tell us something. So understand the behaviors and then have a positive approach to how to work with kids on it.
And we're going to put a link up of the lived experience partners on your website and the form that you fill out. We're talking with Linda Hall, Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health, on her office's 2021 annual report, What the Social Disruptions Mean for Child Well-Being. Your thoughts, still time to talk if you're a teacher, a pediatrician, a social worker, a family therapist. What issues have you seen children grappling with? What have you recommended? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Linda Hall here in the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about children's mental health. A new state report on the well-being of young people in our state. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy on CNN last month.
Many kids feel ashamed of their struggles, and they're not sure if it's okay to ask for help. One of the most powerful things that parents can do is to start a conversation with their children about mental health, to let them know it's okay if you struggle. It doesn't mean that you're broken in some way, and you're certainly not the only one.
Has your child seemed more anxious or distracted? What have you said or talked about? How have those conversations gone? 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health Director Linda Hall with us for about 7 more minutes. Let's go to Kevin in Janesville. Hi, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Two things actually came up. As a public school teacher, I am really kind of hesitant to add anything more to the plate of the public school teacher right now. We are dealing with an awful lot in the classrooms as kids are struggling with all of these issues. Sometimes it seems like parents are abdicating a little of their own parental responsibility. But my main question is, do the data show any link between social media use and mental health issues? I'll take my response off the air.
Kevin, thank you so much. Linda.
We do not quote any data related to that in our report. Obviously, there is a good deal of concern about that. We looked at this issue a year before last, and we really found that we think it's important to think about healthy screen use. And so there's a lot of negative things that kids can be exposed to. In fact, we had a hearing with youth and young adults this in 2021, and they were telling us that they felt that they were exposed to too many inappropriate things and to harmful information early in their lives, and that the adults around them, including their parents, didn't really had no idea of what they were seeing. And they were telling us that they felt that there need to be some guidelines for younger kids on how to use screen time. So we know that's an issue. When we looked at this issue before, healthy use of screen time, you can find a fact sheet for it on our website. We found that when families have a plan around screen time, that it makes a difference. And we found that kids are not getting enough sleep, in part because of screen time. So that's important because we need kids to get their sleep. It's important for brain development. And so I do believe that there's national data that show that excessive use of media can lead to depression. And so that it is important to limit that screen time and try to have it be for positive things. Like if it has to be for school, it's for school. If it helps kids to connect positively to other kids, that's important because we've seen, especially during the pandemic, that kids feel less connected. And when they're not connected, that leads to depression and risky behavior. So it's something to watch. And just in terms of, I'm glad that Kevin brought up teachers. It is really, teachers are struggling with a lot. They've got so much on their plates. And, you know, Wisconsin has invested more in school counselors and psychologists. And we've seen the numbers increase, but there just are not enough of them to really address all of the issues that kids are presenting for us and all the support that they need at school.
Just a notable point I want to add here about your data. A lot of the data that your agency uses in the annual report, this is from before the pandemic started. What is the data that you bring into this report, and why does it take so long for this information that is happening in the pandemic to become available to use for your data?
Well, you're right, Kate. A lot of the data is, almost all of it is pre-pandemic data. So 2018 and 2019, a lot of it. What we try to do with our report is to provide data that allow us to look at what's the current situation in Wisconsin and what was it a few years ago. We generally look at a five-year period. So what is it now? Compare ourselves to where we were 5 years ago. And then we get so many questions about how Wisconsin is doing compared to other states. We want to be able to compare Wisconsin to the national average and the national data. To get that national data, it takes a longer time. Mm-hmm. Inventories are not done every year. Sometimes they vary. The amount of data varies from year to year. So we have kind of a 1 to 2 year lag on that. So what we did in this report to, because we knew people were going to be so interested in how is the pandemic affecting kids, we, in our child demographics pages, we provided what we could in terms of how the picture has changed because of the pandemic. And just to summarize, we'll say that the what was happening with kids before the pandemic, the trends we were seeing there, just seemed to be exaggerated by the pandemic. And that's the that's that trend of increased anxiety and depression and lack of connectedness.
And on that word connectedness, I want to zoom in on one possible solution that you really want people to spend time on, inspiring social connectedness among youth. What is going on there?
Yes, that's right, Kate. We have been looking at the data for a couple of years, looking at what we see as the primary mental health issues affecting kids at different points along the lifespan. And we said, what's the one thing we could ask everybody to work on that would make a difference? And the data and our network are telling us that it's social connectedness of kids. And so that is going to be our focus for this year. We are going to be rolling out more information on this and giving people a better idea of what they can do in their community to increase the social connectedness of youth so that we can have them feeling better and have a brighter future.
Linda, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having us on this important issue, and we hope to be able to talk with you again.
Linda Hall, Director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health. We have a link to the 2021 annual report at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, we'll hit the bricks, the Lego bricks, that is, with two master builders from the La Crosse area who have found some fame with their Lego building. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.